Hi there, folks. Welcome to another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show. And I'm coming to you from in New Zealand. And with me, I know one of our favorite guests on the show, always popular, Alex Newman. Welcome back, Alex. First time for 2025.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Tony.
Not a problem. And it's like changes a minute happening in the world at the moment, and particularly in America. So there's lots we can cover. So I'll let you start us off where you want to go.
Well, it has been an incredible whirlwind, as anybody watching from any part of the world can see. I mean, some of the things are just so obviously and desperately needed that I don't think anybody with any sense can argue against them. Freeing the January 6th prisoners, freeing the pro-lifers that were arrested by the Biden regime, undoing some of these terrible power grabs. Just in the last few days, there have been huge developments, things that I have been working on for almost two decades in some cases, that have been totally ignored. South Africa is a good example. I used to live in South Africa. I've got lots of friends there. It's near and dear to my heart. It was my home for a long time. And to see Donald Trump now, not only saying we're not going to subsidize this abuse of people in South Africa, but we're also going to actively intervene by saying, hey, if you want to come to America, you can come. I think it would be a wonderful thing to have an influx of a few million conservative Christians into the United States. It'd be a huge loss for South Africa. But, if the government wants to terrorize and persecute and steal and kill, what option are you left with? The global warming front that I know you and I have talked a lot about over the years, Tony, massive things happening there. We've got the Trump administration withdrawing from the Paris Agreement, but not just the Paris Agreement, also all of the agreements that were negotiated under the UNFCCC, the underlying treaty. So for people who aren't familiar with the lingo, back in 1992, there was this international treaty, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. And what they've been doing every year since then is having an annual climate meeting. And every year they come up with a new and improved agreement. The one most recently in Baku, Azerbaijan, said we've got the global rules for the international carbon markets now. We've got $1.3 trillion in wealth redistribution from the American middle class, from the Western middle class to the kleptocrats of the third world. Year before that, in the Arabian Peninsula, they agreed we're going to phase out fossil fuels. Year before that, they agreed that we needed what they call loss and damage, which is another way of saying reparations. And so all of those have now been canceled. Donald Trump has said we're not giving any money, we're not obeying any of that stuff. And maybe even more importantly, Tony, he actually just ordered a review of the endangerment finding that found back during the Obama administration that carbon dioxide was pollution that needed to be regulated by the federal government. That underpins so much of the apparatus, the fuel standards for cars, the war on our farmers, the efforts to shut down our power plants, stopping energy exploration. So a lot of that coming crashing down in a remarkable way. He withdrew us from the UN Human Rights Council, which is a total joke run by murderous dictators and anti-Semites. Got us out of the UNRWA, which has been brainwashing little Arab children for decades now to wage perpetual jihad on the Jews. So there's a lot of really good things. And then as you and I talked a little bit before we went on, Tony, there are some concerning things. Like Stargate, the AI that's going to come up with customizable mRNA vaccines, like Paula White, Pastor Paula White, who now is going to lead the White House Faith Office. There's a few things, and of course, the Gaza plan. There's a few things that are perplexing at best that make you really scratch your head, I suppose. And then, of course, the UN World Court coming up with a ruling later this year on the supposed obligations of states. So wherever you want to go with that, Tony, I know there's more to talk about than we could ever have time to talk about, but happy to talk on any of those. So,
well, it's interesting on the climate front thing. It's like, okay, so we, it's summer here, but we had January as one of our coldest Januaries on record here in New Zealand. Like, so where was summer for a lot of the country? Some parts were fairly normal, but a lot of it was very much below normal. And February is sort of probably not that much different. And you're certainly not getting a super warm winter over there in America or anything like that. So all this nonsense about climate change and global warming, and yet they still continue to push the narrative big time, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. You're exactly right about the cold. Just 3-4 days ago, there was a big headline in the BBC. Is global warming going to make it colder in the UK? I'm thinking, like, what kind of person reads that headline and thinks, oh, no, global warming is going to make it colder? Yeah. Like, Where do they find people who believe this stuff? And of course, BBC has a lot of tax funding behind it, so they can pump out lies forever and not have to pay the price with their readers, because they'll keep extracting our money by force. We had 6 inches of snow on what used to be called the Gulf of Mexico, what Donald Trump now calls the Gulf of America. Unprecedented. We've never seen snow like that in my home state of Florida. That's crazy. So the narrative is collapsing. And, you know, I don't remember if we talked after I got back from Baku, Tony. I think we may have. And I was very concerned that Trump was bringing into his administration at a high level a lot of the very people who've been pushing this hoax. Elon Musk, of course, has been a huge proponent of the carbon tax for years and years now. Lee Zeldin, the administrator at the EPA, was one of the first Republicans in Congress to embrace the man-made global warming hoax. Howard Lutnick, who, you know, has been a liberal Democrat for a long time, raised $85 million for Trump. And so now the guy who literally was building the global carbon markets gets to be Commerce Secretary. So some very, very big questions about that. But what we've seen now in terms of action far exceeds anything we saw in the first administration with going to war with the climate scam. They've now stopped the funds to a lot of these NGOs that have been pushing the climate hoax. So on the climate front, at least, I think the global agenda to enslave humanity under the pretext that CO2 is pollution is in some very big trouble, at least for the next 4 years.
How's this sit? Massive moves in AI, and we've seen, you know, and everything associated with digital. And obviously, the more they set all that up, the more power it's going to consume, the data centers and all that. Wind farms, solar, it's not cutting it. Let's go back to producing power using the old ways, because we know we can produce masses of power, which we need to fund and you know, run these AI centers and all of that. Perhaps there's an element of that involved in it.
I think there is. And we've actually seen some of these big tech bros who are at the forefront of the climate hoax. Like Google, for example, entering into a partnership with the UN to suppress people like us who point out what a lie this is. Now they're realizing, hey, if we want to be competitive on the AI space, the Chi-Coms are building coal-fired power plants everywhere. We better get some sources of energy, too. Windmills and solar panels are certainly not going to power this. So that very well may be part of what we're seeing here. Actually, in Baku in Azerbaijan at the last UN climate summit, one of the Republican members of Congress who showed up, there was five of them total, talked about the possibility of these small fusion reactors that, I guess, I don't know the science behind it, but apparently produce enormous amounts of power at a very low cost. So there are ways to power these things. And when you get into AI, I mean, that's like a whole nother can of worms. I understand why people want the United States to pursue AI. It is, I think, far more powerful than nuclear weapons. You look at the possibility of people like the CCP having dominance in this field, it would be absolutely catastrophic. But at the same time, you look at the people who are pushing the AI in the United States, the people who are programming the AI, there are red flags everywhere. These are people who absolutely hate God and hate the word of God and hate God's people. These are people who have a radically different view of government. These are people who programmed the OpenAI, as Elon Musk pointed out, to think that thermonuclear war, wiping out all people on the planet, was a better option than misgendering Caitlyn Jenner, a guy who runs around with a dress. So the people who are programming this are very dangerous. These are people who have a totally warped worldview. And so it's something that I think everybody needs to be thinking about, really investigating, and I would say even speaking out once you're well-informed, because AI is here. It's not going to go anywhere. But the question is, how do we as a society deal with that? How do we as Christians deal with that? Is there a place for it in our lives, in our businesses? Maybe. You know, I think it could be a helpful tool. But also, I think from a prophetic perspective, from a biblical perspective, we're dealing here with a technology that is absolutely being used by people that the Bible describes as children of Satan, right? Children of wrath, for really sinister purposes. When you have people like Elon Musk saying, if we won't merge with AI, we're going to become obsolete. Mm-hmm. When you have people like Bill Gates saying that we need a new religion now to account for AI. Yuval Noah Harari saying that AI will write the first ever book written by a superhuman intelligence. These things are really troubling, and if you don't see the satanic potential of this technology, you're just not paying attention.
Well, let's face it, Elon Musk, Larry Ellison, Sam Altman, all have spoken out in the past about their transhumanist goals. Now these these people are starting to wield a lot of power. So are they really the kind of people we want wielding that power? And where's it going to go? Because, you know, transhumanism to me is a big threat. And this AI and transhumanism and all that certainly to me looks like the beast system and the how you get the image of the beast to be worshipped and all of that. It seems to tie in very much with that as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I agree with you. The more I investigate this, the more certain things in the Bible seem to come more into focus. You know, I often wondered, why is it that when you get this mark, you're irredeemable, right? Why is it that, you know, God can forgive virtually anything, murder, I mean, terrible things, but not this?
Yeah.
And the only thing I could conclude is that it actually does something that undermines your humanity.
Yeah.
And now we see, like Larry Ellison talking about these mRNA vaccines, individualized to cure your cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to entertain even for a moment the idea of allowing anyone, much less these lunatics, meddle with the genetic code that God wrote for me. It's not within the realm of what I'm willing to consider. So I think people need to be really paying close attention to this. The technology is far more advanced than your average person knows. I've been sounding the alarm about transhumanism for many years now. Mm. And you look at the end goal, and I know we've talked about this before, Tony, these people are actually, they are believing, it seems, the oldest lie in the book. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, where Satan said, you know, first questions God, and did God really say? And then what is this enticement? Ye shall be as gods. You won't surely die. You're going to have eternal life. It's exactly what these people are pushing now. We're going to give ourselves eternal life by going to the cloud and merging our brain and our consciousness with this technology. And we're also going to become, as they have said repeatedly now, we're going to become as gods. That's their language, that we are going to upgrade ourselves into gods. In fact, Yuval Noah Harari says we're going to be more powerful than the God of the Bible, because that God can only produce organic life like giraffes and trees, and we're going to be able to produce inorganic life. So when you look at the parallels with what Satan said to mankind, they're so obvious that I can't believe more leaders in the church are not speaking out on this.
Yes, well, this is it. People bury their heads in the sand, I think. I think when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will change and look to upend everything, probably. And so stuff that you thought was a certain way will be all upended and turned around and fixed. And aren't we sort of seeing that at the moment? Everything being upended and changed. And I know there are people that say, oh, that Trump's the Antichrist and he's fulfilling all the roles of that. You know, I mean, I am not in that camp. I'm not saying he's not the Antichrist. He could be, but I'm certainly not convinced, you know. But I know there are some people that will crucify me for that because they're adamant he is. But he is turning things upside down. And he's, you know, you had Joe Biden, who was a half-dead puppet on a string as president before, and now you've suddenly got a leader who's strong, and a lot of what he seems to be doing is really good. You want to get rid of corruption and all of those things, you know, but what do they replace it with? That's got to be the question.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard people talk about that idea that, you know, Trump may be the Antichrist. I don't think so for a few reasons. I mean, first of all, the Antichrist needs to be almost universally embraced, and I don't know how much the fake news in other countries is talking about this. I've mostly been in the United States since Trump was sworn in. But I can tell you, Trump is not being universally embraced here. There are top-level political leaders calling for millions of people to descend on Washington, D.C. and fight. And I mean, it's just crazy stuff. And then also in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, we read that who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, even he that denieth the Father and the Son. And at least in Trump's public proclamations, he has not denied that Jesus is the Christ. He has not, in fact, he has specifically embraced the idea that Jesus is the Son of the Father, that Jesus is the Son of God. And so I don't think Trump could be the Antichrist for those reasons. I do think there are very evil people trying to influence him in a negative direction. A lot of these were around in the first administration. I came face to face with some of them as they were pushing things like the USMCA, US-Mexico-Canada agreement to merge the United States with Mexico and Canada. And unfortunately, Trump's been promoting this idea again. He's been talking about making Canada the 51st state. And I mean, hard to emphasize what a terrible idea that would be. Even if you take the biblical, you know, Christian perspective out of it, just from a practical point of view, do we really need millions of additional big government, godless liberals as part of our body politic in this country? And I would say we got plenty of those. Thank you very much. We don't need to add millions more. We'll end up with another Justin Trudeau. And so I know there's a lot of division right now in the Christian community, among Christians, about whether Trump is consciously working for these evildoers and ultimately their father, or whether he is an unwitting victim on some occasion. And you know, just full disclosure, I don't believe he is consciously working for evil. I believe he believes what he says, that he loves America and wants to make it great again. I don't know that he fully understands how to do that, Paula White being Exhibit A. right. But I think he does love this country. I think he does want what's best. I think he's a little bit surprised by some of the hate that he's getting from certain quarters of the country. But I think it's going to be a very rough 4 years, and that's not what people want to hear. I mean, the World Economic Forum has been talking about a polycrisis. I think they are getting ready to unleash that on us now, and I think they're hoping to manipulate Trump into responding how they want him to respond, whether it be to a collapsing dollar or a possible civil war-like conditions. We've had members of Congress talk about the desirability of civil war-like conditions in this country. So I think that's a very real threat. And I think they've got a few items on their agenda that they're really going to try to push hard, Tony. And what people are going to see is they're going to try to package these terrible ideas as conservative solutions to real problems that we all acknowledge. And I think the one everybody needs to be watching out for right now that is absolutely essential to the whole machinery that they're trying to build here, this whole one world totalitarian system, is the digital ID. Yeah. And they're not going to package it as, hey, we want to spy on you. We want to know all that you do. They're going to package it as, we got all these illegal immigrants running all over the place. Some of them are terrorists. We've got to get this under control. And conservatives will say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Or, oh, we've got, you know, the problems with the voting, the election integrity. It's just terrible. Illegal immigrants. We've got to have a biometric digital ID. And we're already seeing some of this, right? It's being packaged in ways that are very palatable to reasonable people. For example, keeping children out of pornography, keeping children off of nasty stuff on social media. Now they're saying, well, if you just upload your ID, we're going to do, you know, digital. We don't need that. We just need parents to be parents. And so I suspect they're going to try to get Trump to embrace some of these ideas and package them as conservative solutions to these problems. And I think, unfortunately, if he does end up embracing these, like Operation Warp Speed during the first term, it's going to mislead a lot of people who otherwise are quite sensible and who otherwise have their heart in the right place. And so that's a big danger that we need to watch out for.
See, I tend to think that Trump is a knowing and willing player in all this. He's practiced as an actor for years. He's good at it. I think he knows full well what he's doing. And the North American Union, I mean, and including Greenland and all that, I mean, that's like, okay, where did that come from? Well, isn't that the original Club of Rome, alliance with Mexico, United States, Canada, and Greenland, all part of it, and Panama as well? And then is that an accident that Trump did that, said all that? Or is he the art of the deal? You know, I mean, he's a guy that gets things done. I mean, look at, let's face it, you got to admire him for that. He is getting things done, whether you like him or not. You know, that's, and then this whole thing with the Gaza situation, it's like that came out of left field, you know, it really did. And it's like, how serious is he really on the US owning that land? Or is this like, and he says he is, but it's like now all of a sudden you've got all the other Arab countries going, oh my gosh, we've got to do something. This can't just work like it always has. So something's going to change as a result, I would say. So whatever you think of Trump, it's like he is actually making a difference. He's not like the Biden puppet, you know. This is a guy that's exhibiting strong leadership.
Yep. And, you know, a lot of very good, decent, honorable people have spoken out against Trump's plan and got people like Senator Rand Paul, who I respect tremendously.
Yeah.
He's got a good, solid record in the U.S. Senate, and he has spoken out and pushed back on this, even though he very much was on the Trump train, the Make America Great Again. So this is it did come out of left field. It's a very bizarre thing. I think the best case scenario, the most charitable way of looking at this is, you know, maybe Trump sees how the globalists have exploited this perpetually festering conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, and now he's trying to find a way to just take off one of the big chess pieces off the board, because we know that they want to start a third world war. We know that war almost always advances the power and the strength of the state, advances the cause of globalism. And if you just continue allowing this problem to fester with all these neighboring Arab governments hating Israel and all these little children being brainwashed to believe that we need to cleanse the land of Jews from the river to the sea, Israel's not going anywhere. And so this is just a perpetual problem that will be there to fester. And so I'd like to think he's thinking, well, hey, how do we take this off the board as a chip for the evildoers and the globalists? Maybe that is too charitable of an analysis. I know it has certainly inflamed passions all across the Middle East and all around the world, even all across Europe. I mean, all the European leaders are now condemning this. But the reality is Gaza is a giant mess. There has to be some sort of solution that doesn't involve putting Hamas back in charge so they can keep launching rockets into Israel. And of course, the U.S. government has played a big part in making sure the Israelis continue to tolerate and allow this stuff through the funding leverage and through telling them what to do. So I'm hoping that we can see some positive progress on this, but it is definitely one of the more bizarre ideas to come out of the Trump administration, and I think it's worth watching. So,
yeah, well, we will have to watch what happens. It's certainly an interesting hot potato anyway. And you mentioned the digital ID and all of that. So where is this going, as you can see at the moment? And also, I find it interesting that Trump came out and said, you know, there'll be no CBDC. And yet, at the same time, he's pushing the cryptocurrency, which to me is like a backdoor way of getting the same thing in a sort of a way. So what are your thoughts on those two things, the digital money and the digital ID?
Well, the digital ID and the digital money are both critical pieces of this global antichrist system. We know that. It's very obvious. The evildoers have said so themselves. They can't make this work unless everybody has a digital ID, and it's very difficult to force everybody to take a digital ID if we don't have digital money. And so that opens up a few questions. I think the CBDC was at least the preferred route for doing this. And there's still a lot of mystery surrounding the original establishment of things like Bitcoin. I mean, nobody, except maybe a few people who have not revealed themselves, really know what was going on here. This Satoshi mysterious character, was it a real guy? Was it a front for the NSA? Nobody really knows this stuff. I've heard a few hypotheses from very intelligent people whose opinions I respect that maybe that was a front for the NSA. Maybe that was an effort by the globalists to get the ball rolling on these digital currencies so we could end up with a free market and these kinds of things where people would invent new technologies. And then eventually all that would be harnessed for the central bank digital currency. So I was very relieved to see Trump move against CBDCs so early on as in his administration. In fact, that was one of many things that I was calling on him and state leaders as well to do. And I've worked with a lot of policymakers on trying to get this exact thing done. But there's a whole can of worms here when it comes to some of these other cryptos. And Howard Lutnick knows a lot about this. You look at the stable coins, the Tether. What they've done here, it seems, and there's several advantages from their perspective. They've found a way to pump up a new bubble. So all this currency they've created, instead of inflating asset prices like crazy, you just put it all in these cryptocurrency, digital asset things. So that's troubling. And then some of these technologies, I mean, I'll be the first to say there are some really valuable applications to things like Bitcoin. If you had lived in Venezuela as the communist regime, they were stealing everybody's money and blocking everybody's ability to move capital out of the country. Bitcoin suddenly came in very handy. You could put your life savings on a cold storage device, sneak out of the country, fly to Miami, and presto, you have your life savings with you. Whereas you couldn't do that if you had Venezuelan bolivares, or you couldn't trade them into dollars. So there have been some really, really important applications that have allowed people to bypass tyranny. Will those options remain open? I don't know. But we've got to stay focused on this. And what I've noticed, too, is that the usefulness of Bitcoin has really been undermined as it's more and more been portrayed as like kind of an asset as opposed to a means of exchange. Some of the best elements of it, some of the things that made it most useful, have now really taken a backseat. And when you see BlackRock starting an ETF that's gonna be in crypto, that really should cause us to at least regard this all with some suspicion. But I am very excited about what he's done with CBDCs. This is, of course, not a permanent solution. A lot of these things that he's done, just like in the first term, they can be undone with the stroke of a pen. But at least the movement is going, I think, in the right direction right now.
It's interesting too, because I'm watching the price of precious metals climbing, and the elite or whatever, they are still putting their money into solid assets. And there's been a lot of you can't get your gold, basically, because there's a pecking order of you're booked out, you can't take it out, until and this is kind of happening like with the Bank of England and so on. And so precious metals is not off the table. It's like the people that are in the know are still putting their money into those solid things. Maybe they've got Bitcoin and that as well, but it's not like going away, it's going up.
Yeah, and we just hit a new high today. I mean, we're $2,900. Yeah. The first time it's ever been that high in U.S. dollars. This is something extraordinary. Full disclosure, I have some investments in precious metals, gold, silver, and also mining companies. So I'm not, saying this to enrich myself, but I like precious metals. I really regard gold and silver as God's original money.
Absolutely, totally agree. Yep.
Yeah, and I think Trump has talked many times in the past, and I've done articles about this. The fake media doesn't usually give it much play, but he has talked about the desirability of returning to a gold standard. We know there's massive inflows of gold coming into New York right now. I don't know what that means. I've got a few ideas about what it might mean. But the Chinese, the CCP, are also stockpiling enormous amounts of gold, and so are the Russians. Yes. And so could we see some sort of reset where everybody loses confidence in fiat money and they say, oh, don't worry, we're going to back it 10% with gold or 20% with gold. Zimbabwe is actually pioneering that right now. They're working on the ZiG. Their currency totally collapsed because it was such a joke. They printed it to the point where hundreds of trillions of dollars was worthless. And now they have done partial backing of their currency with physical gold. Could we see, Donald Trump is an expert on bankruptcy. The United States is way beyond bankrupt, right? Yeah. $40 trillion in debt, hundreds of trillions in unfunded liabilities, and that's just what we know about. Is there some sort of plan for restructuring? And what would it look like? And I think it could go one of several ways. It could facilitate the emergence of a one-world currency, which is what the communist Chinese and the Biden administration and the Barack Obama administration were all hoping for. Or it could, if people understood enough and were outraged enough, trigger a move to try to reestablish at least some semblance of an honest currency that wasn't based on basically what I call fraud of historic proportions. And, this is another one of those things. I probably sound like a broken record, but I think people need to be watching this, and I think people need to get well informed on this. You can't just trust the experts. When the crisis hits, the fake news will put out a whole bunch of talking heads to tell you exactly what their masters want them to tell you. Hmm. This is something that you ought to be doing the research on right now so that when the crisis hits, you have a better sense of what's true, what's not, what has worked in the past, what hasn't. So,
and I think the crisis will come, and whether it's in the form of an economic collapse or whether it's in the form of another pandemic, or a combination of, they'll use something to reset this once they have their preferred system ready to go. But I've said for a long time, I would not be surprised if you end up with a digital currency, but it's backed by physical assets, and that includes gold and silver and whatever else, and everything gets a value assigned to it, including you and me.
Yep. To be clear, that's what the Bank for International Settlements is working on right now. They're working on the international architecture for this. They've got, and they talk about this. Right? You don't have to go into the smoky rooms. They're talking about the international blockchain ledger, where every asset in the known universe would be tokenized, would live on this blockchain, mm-hmm. and then could only be bought and sold using this digital currency that you would access through your digital ID. And if there is a total meltdown of the system, to try to sell people 100% fiat currency again is going to be a heavy lift. It would be much more palatable for people if they said, but this time we're going to back it with 20% gold, maybe 10% oil, and all the stuff that we stole from you when the system collapsed, including the securities that represent the ownership of every publicly traded company in the world. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I think it's certainly a feasible scenario based on what they have said publicly and based on what we know they want.
Yep, absolutely. And I know time's running down, but okay, so you mentioned Paula White before. Okay, so what is this new ministry thing? I forget what Trump calls it, with Paula White heading it. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the White House Faith Office, Paula White was close to Donald Trump even during his first administration. I don't know that she had a formal fancy title like this, but I encourage people to listen to some of the things that she has said in the past. She has made statements that are absolutely unbiblical, and that should be troubling. I don't know that she's going to have any kind of official role. I mean, I don't expect that we're going to see a national church of the United States with Paula White as Pope, but she's got a lot of influence. And I'll tell you what, as soon as I found this out, I reached out to some pastor friends of mine, including my own pastor, by the way. There's a lot of concerns among Christians about this nomination. She's got a background of saying things that are completely at odds, not just not in line with, but completely at odds with what the scripture teaches. If you go back and read what Paul has said about women teaching in the church, I think there's some valid concerns there. And so I do think that Trump should seriously reconsider this. I think it's actually going, and I don't think he doesn't have a background in, Orthodox theology. Trump is obviously not a Bible scholar. I don't think he understands these controversies at all. I think, she's really popular and she's charismatic and, people like her and she's a really good speaker. And so this is going to be really encouraging for Christians. And I don't think he realizes that he's actually alienated a lot of Christians by making this appointment. So I do hope he does, to be fair, he does still have some people who are far more orthodox theologically than Paula White speaking into his life. People like Franklin Graham, who actually gave a presentation of the gospel just recently in front of Donald Trump. So I think we should encourage that. Ultimately, we don't have a national church in the United States. We don't want a national church in the United States. But I do think Trump wants to try to do right by Christians. I just don't think he fully understands the best way to do that. And so I do hope some of his advisors who are Christians, some of his advisors who do believe the Bible, will share some words with him about this and encourage him to make some better decisions going forward.
I have to say, not wanting to be argumentative, but Franklin Graham lost all my respect back in the first pandemic when he said Jesus would have taken the vaccine and basically lambasted anybody that didn't take it.
Yeah.
So
the same is true for me, Tony. Don't get me wrong. That was to call that disappointing would be the understatement of the century, especially because of his high profile. And as far as I know, he has not publicly repented of that, and he should. So
if we've got a warp speed 2 coming at some point, then these the type of people you want to have around if you're Donald Trump. So, I don't know. I hope that doesn't happen. None of us wants to see a return to another COVID-like situation. But I'm also, we've had Bill Gates in there with a 3-hour meeting with Trump and so on. And so I haven't got that off the table as a possibility that we could be working at catastrophic contagion still, and where do these people fit when that comes, if that scenario arises, which obviously I hope it doesn't.
Yeah, no, I fully embrace those concerns as well. Some of the worst people are now a long way away. Fauci is, of course, he's just had his security detail revoked. Yeah. There are over a dozen state attorneys general that are right now looking into possible state level criminal charges for him since Biden pardoned him at the federal level. So Trump has clearly learned some about this, but, you're right that there are still some people around him who are very concerning. But what I would say to people is, whether we like the leaders that are in authority or not, God has commanded us to pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2 speaks on this really, really clearly. God actually instructs us. It's not like this might be a good idea. It's a clear mandate that we pray and even give thanks for kings and those in positions of authority, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives. I do think that's important. God does raise up leaders, in many cases, leaders that we vehemently disagree with. If you go back to the Old Testament, he fairly frequently raised up tyrannical leaders to punish his own people for their infidelity, for going a whoring after other gods. And that may be some of what the Western world is experiencing right now. You know, you want to go a whoring after demonic deities? Well, you're going to be rewarded with tyranny and open borders and plagues and all the rest of it. But, you know, we should pray that, that God would work in and through Donald Trump, that he would put good ideas in his heart, and that we could live quiet and peaceable lives and glorify God through that way. And, you know, I said that during Joe Biden. I'll say it during Donald Trump, and I'll say it no matter who God raises up. You know, we have an obligation to be good citizens. I think Christians should be the best citizens, and we always have been, all the way back to the Roman Empire, certainly never perfect, but even when we were being persecuted by government, we continued to pray for our leaders and to ask God to work in them and through them. And I think the situation we're in is no different. And frankly, Tony, I think a lot of people are confused right now, and it's easy to see why. There is a spirit of confusion that has gone out over the Western world where our kids don't even know what bathroom to go into anymore, right? And so it's difficult for adults to try to make sense of everything that's happening. But ultimately, if we stay firmly rooted in the scriptures, we stay in constant prayer with our Creator, that should, I think, help us to discern the times that we're in and what should be our response to different things, whether it be political, cultural, or social.
Sounds good. And that depends, you know, it's no different no matter what country you're in, and that includes New Zealand. And yeah, I'm still interested to see Justin Trudeau's there in Canada. I thought he was gone, you know, going to be gone, but he's still the man.
Looking for a replacement, yes. We'll see what happens with that. I know they're talking about Mark Carney as his possible replacement. I mean, this is a guy who's full-blown in with the central bankers, the central bank digital currency, the wokeness. I mean, it's just as bad as Justin Trudeau, if not worse. So we'll have to see what happens in Canada. Who knows? They may end up the 51st state. God help us. So.
Yeah, well, watch this space. Like, there's certainly a lot of interesting things going on. It's never a dull moment, that's for sure. So, yeah. Well, I better let you go. I thank you again for being on the show, Alex. It's been a fascinating discussion. Good to be able to go to and fro a little bit on things. And yeah, I loved it.
So, hey, thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate it. God bless you. It's always a pleasure, and I hope I'll talk to you soon.
Excellent. Great. Cheers. Also, folks, remember our website is aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure you subscribe to us if you haven't already done so. There's been some articles posted of late and more to come. Good articles on our website, as well as all our shows. And we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. Thank you, folks, that do help us out, the small number of people that do. If anyone else wants to donate to A Minute to Midnight, it's always much appreciated. And you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com as well. So that would be much appreciated if you can help us out that way. And also, if you're interested in the music used in the shows, which I have written, played, and recorded, there's some free music of mine to download at aminutetomidnight.com also. God bless. God willing, we'll be back with another episode in a few days' time.